This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is that time of the day. The Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. We dive in to the internet where there's an endless supply of mock drafts. And we find a new one and discuss what the Eagles are doing. Of course, this time with the 32nd pick in the 2025 NFL draft, which I believe is 4 weeks away. I think 4 weeks from today, we're reacting to the first round. It's 4 weeks from yesterday. All right. Latest one, Matt Miller, ESPN. Let's go through some of these. Hugh, number one overall, no surprise, Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami to the Tennessee Titans. Number two, I think we saw this the other day as well, Abdul Carter, edge rusher, Penn State to the Browns, which means the Browns pass on a quarterback at number two. At number three, the Giants take that quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, quarterback out of Colorado. Number four, the Patriots select Travis Hunter, corner slash wide receiver, Colorado. Number five, Mason Graham, defensive tackle, to the Jaguars. All right, Hugh, let's scroll down to number 32. And with the 32nd pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Donovan Ezeraku, edge rusher.
Ezeraku.
You know, I first saw the name yesterday. I thought this would be a tough one to pronounce. But once you hear it, you nailed it on the break there.
Yeah. Ezeraku. Yeah, surprised. I should have did it on the air because nobody's going to believe me.
Yeah.
Ever since I said it, they're going to believe I got it right.
I don't even believe it.
Yeah, I didn't do it on the air.
Well, his name is Donovan Ezeraku. He's an edge rusher. He's actually a local kid, Williamstown, New Jersey. Comes from Boston College. Hugh, what do you think? He is a 3-4 edge rusher, and he had 16.5 sacks last year.
That's pretty impressive. If I'm not mistaken, was it last year or probably maybe a year before that? I saw Boston College play. I think it was it Florida? Was it last year? One of those years, because the quarterback was Castellanos.
It was last year. They won the opener at Florida State.
Yeah, they played Florida State. They played them pretty tough.
Well, you may have noticed him because that night.
That's what I was about to say. That's sacks. What I remember about that game. Because there was two things that stuck out. It was him and the quarterback's last name is Castellanos.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, I ain't never knew a black Castellanos before.
Now you know one.
Now I know. Well, I don't know him, but you know, yeah, it was Castellanos. But yeah.
Do you like Ezeraku?
I like the name and I like the fact that they were hunting that night. They were hunting because Florida State, granted, they had a rough season, but the fact that Boston College got after them like that, they had a pretty good football team. Because the coach from Temple, wasn't it their coach, if I'm not mistaken, was that he was Temple's coach.
You're talking about the BC coach?
Yes.
I can't remember.
It might be running together for me, but either he came from Temple or he came from Boston College or whatever. No, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
Okay, yeah, but no, I remember watching that game.
So I think I know why Hugh likes Donovan Ezeraku. there's some kinship here because the knock on him is that he's a little short.
The T-Rex arm.
Yeah. I don't know how long his arms are, but he's shorter than... Because these pass rushers, I mean, you know, Hugh, the edge rushers come out 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, they're big dudes.
He's listed at 6'2", 247, which means he's probably 6'1", or whatever he is. Yeah. So he's a little shorter than your typical first-round edge rusher.
Yeah, he is. He's not that typical guy. So, yeah, I like that, man. But they got after it. I remember watching that Florida State game. They got after it. They really, really did.
Just another guy that Hugh Douglas paved the way for.
Little guys.
You're going to take the credit for Ezeraku?
Nah.
Shrimp.
Unbelievable. shrimp Douglas over here.
Put another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah, look, 34-inch arms, actually. That's pretty good. So he doesn't have T-Rex arms. He's
not a little T-Rex.
He's a shrimp, but not a T-Rex. All right. Donovan Ezeraku, the 32nd pick in the latest NFL mock draft. So as we started this week, what have we had? We've had some defensive linemen, right? Walter Nolan was our first one. Did we have a running back? Not in the first round, did we?
We had a running back.
Not yet.
We didn't have a running back. Are you sure?
Are you spoiling our next mock draft?
We had the wide receiver. Luther Burden.
We did because it was a runner.
I think it was one of the drafts we were looking at. It included second and third round picks, and Jaden Blue was their second round pick.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Right.
And we had talked to Elliot about Jaden Blue. We haven't quite seen them in the first round yet. We'll continue them every day, 1 o'clock, leading up to the NFL draft. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. You can react to the Daily Mock, of course, and the Phillies here. Do you like what you saw yesterday? Tom in the Northeast has a take on the Shadows. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Hugh, Joe, Kyle.
Hey, Tom. What's up?
I totally agree with I'm on Kyle's side. Those 19 strikeouts were horrible. 4 by Marsh, 4 by Realmuto. Now they're the Shadows. They can't play in the cold weather. Now it's the Shadows. I'm happy they won.
All these Hugh Douglas excuses.
To be fair, Tom, the only person making the cold weather excuse is Hugh. No one else is doing that. It's not cold.
And I also agree Romano should be in jail. Walker's in jail, but he's on work release for his start.
Guilty! Yeah. They're letting Walker out to make a start.
Yeah. Work release. That is crazy.
Yeah, Tom, I know it's one game, and it's probably an overreaction. I just didn't like what I saw to Romano yesterday. He just looked like the stuff was
flat.
He's
in jail?
Yeah, he's in jail.
Yeah, totally agree. And the venue, mm-hmm. I just wanted to tack on to what somebody called earlier about the Iron Pigs. May 5th and 6th, they have 11 o'clock in the morning games on those two dates. You could see if you can try and broadcast while that game's going on.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Wait a minute, what now?
They have 11 a.m. broadcasts at the Iron Pigs.
It's a nice little ride, don't you?
Yeah, that's only about an hour.
Hmm. And Hugh, it's hard to find something up there not made with bacon.
I would think it's made for you, Hugh. I mean,
I like bacon. Though.
I know you do. You can meet Chris P. Bacon.
But is it Hatfield?
Well, we'd have to check in on that. Tom, good one. We'll get you down for another Iron Pig suggestion. He's just jumping on the other one. But, yeah, if the Iron Pigs want to invite us up, sure.
I'll go.
I mean, if you get
bacon.
I mean, they're going to give you a free hoodie and some bacon.
You know how to speak my language, don't you? The free hoodie and the bacon. I'm in.
I mean, it seems like it's pretty easy to get you to go up there. I mean, free hoodie, bacon, some baseball.
We do know that he was a sellout.
I'm not a sellout. I like hoodies.
All I said to you was you'd get a free hoodie and bacon. You're like, where do I got to go? What's the address?
I do like hoodies.
Well, and they have some good ones because they're. Yeah. I mean, their whole thing is bacon. All right. Evan in Telford's up. What's up, Evan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
Love
Evan.
Your show, by the way.
Thank you, Evan. We appreciate you being part of us. What are you thinking today?
All right. So I think this is the first mock draft that got it right all week. So picking an offensive guard, I'm with Kyle on that one. That was insane. I think the wide receiver's insane because we already have Jahan Dotson. We traded a whole third-round pick for him. I mean, it was like the first big shot in the Super Bowl. I mean, clearly they have a plan for this guy. I don't think we're taking a slot receiver. And honestly, this Donovan guy, I don't know how to say his last name.
Ezeraku.
Okay, thank you. And I think he has potential. I mean, if you just watch the tape, he gets off the edge real quick, sets the edge. He'd be great in Vic Fangio's system. Yeah, I think Vic would love him.
I agree with you. And I think of all the ones we've done this week, and you mentioned Luther Burden, the receiver, and of course the guard out of North Dakota State that caused Kyle to flip out.
Gray. This is something gray.
Gary Zeal or something?
I wouldn't flip out.
Yeah, you did. But Evan, this one does make the most sense. And look, they lost BG and they lost Sweat off the edge. They need another edge guy. Even if you feel good about Nolan and Jalix, we still need another edge guy.
Yeah, we need a third guy. I mean, Josh Uche and Azeez Ojulari. They're both great, but I don't know. I don't trust them. I mean, Uche got benched like halfway through the season by Spags, and Spags knows what he's talking about. I mean, it's Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator one, and right underneath him is Spags at number two, in my opinion. And I think if Spags is benching him at 2.5 sacks, I mean, clearly he can't be that great. You know?
Yeah. Well, there's some things. I was also reading something about Uche that late in the tenure with Belichick there, he started to bother him too. He just, I don't know if he was kind of freelancing or, because he has ability. I mean, he had a 2-3 years ago, yeah. He had 11 sacks. So, yeah, I'm with you. And look, I think the contracts they gave at Elliott, Evan, too, both Uche and Ojulari are telling, like, they didn't give him multi-year deals. It's one-year flyers. So I think you're right that an edge rusher makes a lot of sense. All right, Evan, what do you got for us for a sports venue we should check out?
Wells Fargo Center.
They're right down the street, Honda. We go there all the time.
Evan, good phone call. Good we job. Appreciate you being part of the show. That one
to watch what? The Sixers?
Yeah, Kyle.
He can go to a concert.
He didn't rub Kyle the wrong way.
Well, I mean, when you say it, well,
he was flummoxed when you asked him because he lost his train of thought.
I prepared him for the question.
Hold on. Yeah, like, I knew he wanted to give an answer. He chose that answer.
No, so on the phone, he told me Wrigley, and I said, you know, you might want to think of another one. Someone took that.
That's what I'm saying.
His
he was
pivot
flummoxed.
Was terrible.
Yeah, he was flummoxed.
Wells Fargo Center.
You could tell he was flummoxed. He was flummoxed on that one.
Go to the place you've been 15, 20, 30 times already.
I never knew a pontificator was like you said.
Pompously.
I didn't know it was that.
Well,
I
guess
like, yeah.
People that are in like are a perched above you or like a professor, they pontificate. I get it now. Because like someone, you kind of think of like you're smug if you're pontificating.
Yeah, my opinion means more than yours.
Yeah, that's deep.
As we laugh.
heartily laugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be a warning for everyone to stop taking me seriously.
I haven't, you know, I know.
It is crazy, though. It happens on a daily basis.
What, laughing at each other?
No, I'm just saying it's like it's entertainment, but people get in their feelings. Like
I thought
a
of a nickname, by the way, for Ezuraku.
Seriously?
I'm
talking about him seriously not getting it.
I thought you were that surprised they gave him a nickname for Ezuraku.
Okay, what's the nickname?
The Rock.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No.
If Ezuraku gets drafted and people can't pronounce his name or look at it and they're not sure, what's wrong with The Rock?
I like The Rock.
No.
As a pass rusher, defensive guy?
No.
You know what? You're just being defiant for no reason.
I'm just saying.
It
just
you come up with a nickname for, what's his first name?
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, what's wrong with The Rock?
Ezuraku,
The Rock.
I'm assuming that Ezuraku is an African name. I'm assuming that.
Okay.
So I call him the Angry African.
Yeah. What do you think happens if I say that?
You can say that.
That's no.
We sit here and
are
say
you
exciting whites all day long. We live in a world where
you're
it's
trying to see me get in trouble on a
that's
Friday.
Not,
I do not work.
You know that's not going to fly.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Angry African. It's cool.
No.
Imagine if I said that. Like, you guys, I thought of a cool nickname for Donovan Ezuraku.
Yeah, I probably should.
And I repeat what you just said.
That's going to be a major problem for Julio.
Probably should have workshopped that word.
Well, you know what the problem is now? If they draft him, people are going to call him like, Hugh, you gave him the nickname.
Yeah.
They're going to start saying
it.
Kyle's going to dump it.
I almost want to dump it. Like, that can't catch on.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be repeating
the exciting whites caught on.
But that's tongue in cheek.
Yeah, like we know
it's
why.
It's the same thing.
You're really going to play dumb here?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Right. As long as we're,
at least you're admitting it.
It's serving me well at this moment. It's not that bad.
Can't wait to get this kid off the training
you're
camp.
You're fine. Just say it.
Hey, it's not that bad.
Coming
go
up next
it.
To training camp, Donovan Ezuraku. We'll tell him about when we gave him a nickname and we got ourselves in trouble. Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Waiting for Rod to walk in here.
I know. It's unbelievable. Tyler, what's up?
Hey. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on,
what's up?
Hugh, you and Joe couldn't have led this in with Kyle into a better segue because I told Kyle, I first of all want to apologize yesterday because, Hugh, I went back and I laughed so hard with you, brother, when I was doing the speech and you didn't know what the second P I said was during the pump up.
What was the second P?
And it was so funny. So the three P's were supposed to be persistence, precision, and performance.
Ah,
okay, persistence.
But I was saying precision in their power, and I went back and listened with my dad and my Uncle Rodney. We were laughing so hard. It sounded like I said pushing, pressing, pissing. I was like, what
was trying
to,
like, and
on?
I didn't want to say it, because that's why I kept saying, wait a minute, what did he say? Because it didn't sound like, I know what you said.
No,
I wanted to hear it again, though.
I don't know if that's something Kyle can add to the drop board, but that was like my Chuck from Mount Airy moment when he was doing the Eagles chant, and he put multiple L's instead of the A when he was doing that on Marks and Reese a couple years ago.
You know what I appreciate, though, Tyler? You powered through. Hugh tried to throw you off, and you powered
you
right
power through.
Through.
I respect that.
No, hey, but now, Hugh, we got another entry for the Hugh bracket next year.
What's that?
He's petering out, Doug.
He's petering out.
Which kind of goes with life alert. Yeah, yeah, so he's petering out. We're at to lose him.
That ain't right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hey, that's actually a good way to describe the Phillies yesterday, Joe, because it was almost like the Phillies were petering out towards the end of the game, but their bats came to life at the end. And I have to say, for it being the first game of the season, I, Hugh, of all things, I was driving on 95. I was hauling heavy down to Aberdeen, and I'm on my way home, and Kevin Stocker and Scott Fransky did such a good job at describing how Mackenzie Gore was keeping guys off balance. And I told Kyle that as much as we can nitpick about them striking out 19 times, it is still March. So these aren't just blatant hacks that these guys are taking. The pitching competition is much more different in Major League Baseball than the same pitching that they were seeing down in Florida.
Oh, of course. Oh, especially, yeah. I mean, right. I mean, then they face a, and Nagore isn't great yet, but he's an opening day pitcher with some pedigree. I mean, he's got good stuff. I'm not surprised with the shadows he was able to have a good day yesterday.
Yeah, and that to me, Joe, that makes me feel good, because it's the first game of the year. Sometimes in the early part of the year, these games might not have the same intensity as they do once we get into the stretch run. But what really makes me feel good is that this team continued to fight. When they panned to the dugout, when Alec Boehm had that big hit in the 10th, all those guys were bought in. I mean, they all were cheering each other on. They were locked in. It didn't feel like the vibes, even though Garrett Stubbs isn't there, it didn't feel like the vibes were down. And when they needed to come through at the end of the game, they did. And that, for me, makes me really happy, because, Hugh, you said you'd be happy if they went 4-2 in their first six. They need three more in the next five.
We can do that.
We can do that.
Take two of three from Washington and do the same thing coming back here, which, again, the forecast doesn't sound that great for Monday, but this team's going to get off to a good start, and that's what hopefully is going to propel us to leading the NL East early.
Now we're talking. Tyler, what do you got for us? A sports venue we should go to?
All right. So this is a place, Hugh, don't worry, you don't have to drive 11 hours to go here, but Litos Field at Ripken Stadium. It's right off of I-95. It was right near where I was yesterday. It's a 6,300-seat stadium where the High A team plays for the Baltimore Orioles.
The Iron Birds,
they have
right?
Free,
the Iron Birds.
Free parking.
Yeah, I've been there.
The Iron Birds. I did not know this, Joe, but since it's opened June 18th, 2002, they have sold out every home game for the last 22 years and counting.
Wow.
And they say what an amazing experience it is for baseball fans of all ages. So that would be my pick. And boys, have an awesome week.
Have a great weekend, Tyler. Week. Good stuff, man. I've been in that park.
Didn't happen to the end of the show today.
Fun little park. Oh, your phone going off?
It's every day.
I know.
It didn't happen to them, so.
Oh, what happens in the 1 o'clock hour doesn't count?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. At least it didn't happen to the show.
1 o'clock does get a little.
Yeah, well.
On a Friday.
I mean, almost any day, but certainly on a Friday. Ken from Cinnaminson is up. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, Ken. What's up?
I love your, I love the mock draft calls where you got people calling up talking about how bad they want a guy they've never seen play football in his life.
But he's got a good name, doesn't he? Donovan Ezeraku just sounds like a pass rusher, Ken.
Yeah, but Hugh, he's actually from Thailand. It's not African.
Okay. Right.
So you've saved Ezeraku, us from this mess of a nickname that you tried to
Thank you. Back. Thank you, Ken.
I just made that up. I have no idea.
Kid, damn it, don't do that. I'm going to look it up now.
So the shadows were a thing, okay? It's hard to hit what you can't see, and hitting major league pitching is hard enough already. And, you know, Mackenzie Gore is a good pitcher. The way this team is constructed, they're always going to strike out 8, 9, 10 times a game. They just are. This notion that this approach means that they're now going to prioritize putting the ball in play more. Organizationally, they don't prioritize putting the ball in play. All you have to do is look at the roster. Look at the lineup. The priority is clear. They want to slug the baseball. And so they're willing to take their strikeouts. I was very happy that I didn't hear even with 19 strikeouts, and look, the Nationals struck out 14 times yesterday. Mm-hmm. So the shadows were a thing. There were 33 strikeouts in that game. Under normal circumstances, that's probably a 10 strikeout game for the Phillies, which you kind of just, you know, don't even bat your eye at. Like, yeah, I struck out 10 times again. You know, day ends in a Y. They struck out 10 times yesterday. So, you know, I didn't hear any of the Gabe Kapler, you know, gushing over a guy who never put a ball in play, but, you know, saw 35 pitches from the manager. And that's when I was completely out on Gabe Kapler when he talked about what a great game J.P. Crawford had in Milwaukee because he saw 42 pitches.
Oh, I remember that well. I remember that day well. That was wild.
Yeah, that's when I was like, all right, this is not the game I grew up with. So, you know, if you're expecting a team that's going to go out there and, you know, move like Brandon Marsh, if he had actually gotten that bunt down, he probably wouldn't have run to first base himself because he would not have known what to do because he would have been so shocked that he got the bunt down in play. So it's almost like Rob Thompson at that felt like, well, this is what everybody wants to see out of us, so we're going to try and bunt this guy over to third base with less than two outs in the 10th inning with you know, in extra innings here because this is what, you know, the baseball purists say we're supposed to do. Brandon Marsh had no prayer of putting that bunt down. He had no prayer of putting the ball in play. And, you know, it's just, this is the way the team is constructed. So I wouldn't get too over the top worried about the fact that they struck out 19 times yesterday. We're probably not going to be playing any playoff games in Washington in October, so you don't have to worry about that, Kyle, even at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Ken, this happened to us at Citi Field against the Mets in October. What are you talking about?
It had nothing to do with the sun. It had to do
the
with
shadows
the
had nothing to do with the sun?
No, the outcome in Citi Field had nothing to do with the shadows. It was because they just – John and I have refused to throw them strikes, and they refused to let them walk them.
Okay, but Ken, if this game – if we're going to chalk up 19 strikeouts to the sun. What happens if it does happen in October again? We're just chalking it up again and it's fine?
I just said, I'm not telling you that all 19 of them were because of the sun. Under normal circumstances, that's your typical 10 strikeout Phillies game, and you don't think anything of it.
Okay, but you're telling me not to be over the top worried, but then in the same breath saying this is who the team is. That worries me.
Well, then you should be worried.
I am.
You should have been worried all along because This is the construction of the team that I have described as fatally flawed for a couple of years now.
Okay, but you sound like you're okay with that.
I think he's accepted it.
yeah, I'm not getting all wrapped up in the 19 strikeouts.
Yeah, and I'm there too with the 19. I thought the shadows were. I mean, the one thing, and Ken, you're right. It's not just about pitches taken, but at least because they had better at bats, because they didn't swing at the first pitch, they were able to get that pitch number for Gore up to where he was out after six, and then they got into the underbelly of a bad Nationals bullpen. If they could do that and get good starting pitchers out after five or six, they'll score some runs off of bad bullpens. They'll do that.
This is the way they win games. I mean, this is a team that won 95 games last year, and it's the same guys. So I don't know what – if you were expecting to see the 1985 St. Louis Cardinals out there, you know, hitting the ball hard on the ground and running fast, it's – You probably need to go
Vince
back.
Vince Coleman, Ozzie Smith, Jack Clark?
That's right.
I don't know
That's
if I was expecting that. I was at least hoping that, you know, maybe they wouldn't strike out 19 times on opening day.
I don't know if we can get Vince Coleman.
After the whole thing of leading the league in walks in spring training.
We tried to teleport. That was crazy.
No place to go but up, Kyle. No place to go but up.
Well, that's true, unless we strike out 20 tomorrow. Ken, give us a venue we should go to.
I'm going to go a little different. Everybody's going stadiums and arenas and stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, if you have not gone to see the Masters at Augusta, there is no place on the face of the earth. It is hallowed ground. It's a privilege to put your feet on that ground.
It's a cool one. And I think Hugh,
Augusta's nice. They got a lot of buffets in Augusta, all you can eat spots.
Ken, good one. Are they the ones that have the old school, old pricing for the food?
I think so.
I think they have.
I think so.
If I'm got it right, I think it's where you could still get like the pimento sandwich and But the prices are cheap, right? Like comparative to everywhere else.
I was talking about just being in Augusta though. It's like a bunch of buffets in Augusta. Augusta's nice though. Like the Augusta, Georgia.
So you've been to Augusta but not the Masters.
I have not been to the Masters. I've been to the hotel that's by the Masters where they stay.
Mm.
But no, I never went. You know, that's something that Ike would rather go and have a ball.
Yeah, if I think for golf people, it's a bucket list kind of thing.
It's a mecca for golf players.
No, I think that's a good way to put it. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls here. Did you like what you saw from the Phillies yesterday? Yes or no? They did win the game, but they struck out 19 times. Plus, a few comments by Phillies that have us scratching our heads. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls. It is the Midday Show. As always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? Well, they'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.